much appreciate that. How deep the Father's love that would save a wretch and make it his treasure. What a blessing. Tremendous words in song. Exodus 28 this morning. Exodus chapter 28. Now we have a lot going on this morning with the Lord's table and baby dedication, and you would think the preacher would be a little shorter this morning. I wish I had thought about that this week, but I didn't. So I will try to talk quickly as we go through Exodus 28. We've been looking at the tabernacle. We've been looking at how God has worked in the life of the Hebrews as they march from Egypt and heading to the Promised Land. And as they're marching toward the Promised Land, as they go there, God set up this way that a wretch like them, a wretch like us, could minister and meet with the Father. And sadly, there were many times when they just weren't interested in following God, but in their heart they kept saying, we want to follow God, and yet there were many times that they just didn't. But God said this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a tabernacle, I'm going to make a way that a sinful man can relate to a holy God. I know it's impossible, but I'm going to make it possible for you. And so he set up the tabernacle, which we've been studying about, and he had the, as you walk into the tabernacle, you saw the grate there, you saw the altar that was where sacrifices were made daily. Beyond that, you saw the brazen laver where the priests would have to cleanse themselves before they could make an atonement for our sins. Beyond that, there was a veil that only the priests could go beyond, and in that veil, there was the table of showbread, there was the altar of incense, and there was the candlestick. Beyond that, there was another veil that only the high priest once a year could go into, and that was the Holy of Holies. And it was in there that God dwelt, and it was in there that God said, I will meet with man once a year on the Day of Atonement, and I will allow a temporary way that man can relate to God through a sacrifice of an animal, but that animal cannot save you. That animal can do nothing to get you closer to God. That animal is going to be a reminder to you that one day a Messiah will come. And if you're going to be saved, it's going to be saved in the hopes of the coming Messiah. Your faith will be in the future, not in what you're doing in the present. Just like if anybody thought that this table could save them, you're sadly mistaken. Because this table is just a reminder of the past, of what happened at the cross. And so all of history met at the cross. Isn't it interesting that today is the year 2015 and we date that from the cross of Jesus Christ? Even the unbelievers, they've tried to change it from before Christ and in the year of our Lord to before the common era. So if you see BCE now, it's they just want to do everything they can to ignore that there was a man named Jesus Christ who was the high priest, who was our Savior. They want to ignore it, but they can't ignore it. It's the truth. And so God set up here, and as we talk about the high priest and his robes, it says in verse 1 of Exodus 28, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, notice, for glory and beauty. I want his robe to stand out. I want the high priest to be different from all of the other priests. So his garments are going to look spectacular. When anybody sees him, they're going to notice something different from Aaron and everybody else. Verse 3, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest office. And these are the garments which ye shall make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold and of blue and of purple and of scarlet and fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have two shoulder pieces thereof, joined at the two edges thereof. And so shall it be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same thereof according to the work thereof, even of gold and of blue and of purple, of scarlet and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and six of their names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engraving of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel, and thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold, and thou shalt put the two stones of the shoulders of the ephod for stones of a memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. So let's stop there. Let's kind of take a quick look at what this garment looks like. If you were to see the high priest, Aaron, Moses' brother, he was going to be the first one chosen by God to be the high priest. He would be the one that would once a year on the Day of Atonement go into the Holy of Holies, and he would represent all of Israel based upon a sacrifice of an animal that would represent the coming Messiah one day. Before he could do that, before he could sacrifice for the nation, he had to sacrifice for himself. Because you see, Aaron was going to be a temporary and yet a sinful mediator. He was not going to be perfect. In fact, he made many mistakes along the way. But yet, God said, I'm going to allow you to fulfill this role for a temporary time. One day, I will send a perfect high priest. One day, I will send the mediator. One day, I will send the spotless Lamb of God, which will take away the sins of the world. Till then, let's do this temporary thing. And in faith, you as the Hebrews will continue to do this in the hopes of the coming Messiah. Now, if you're hoping that that animal is going to take away your sins, then you will not be saved. If you're hoping that you're going to be good enough to be saved, then you'll never be saved. It's all of grace. It's all of mercy. And you're demonstrating this as a confidence in what the Messiah will do one day. So he says, let's have this garment made for Aaron. So it will look for beauty and holiness, or glory and holiness, so people will notice a difference from Aaron. So he said, let's first of all talk about the ephod. The ephod would be something that would cover the back and cover the chest, and it would have two stones, one on each shoulder. The stones were to have six names of the children of Israel on one side, six names on the other side, so all 12 would be represented by the high priest. Wherever he would go, he would be bearing on his shoulders the names of the children of Israel. The breastplate was something that came in front and just covered the front part. It kind of looped over and had a pouch. And so in the pouch, there were two special stones. Those two stones were called the Urim and the Thummim. And in some way, mystical way that we just don't fully know, they were able to discern God's will at times with those two stones. We're not sure exactly how. We don't know the details of it. God doesn't give it a whole lot of details. But there were times when they would use those two stones, the Urim and the Thummim, to help discern the will of God. We have something better today. We have this book. You can discern the will of God from this book, and if you're saved, through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you today. Praise God, we don't need two stones. You don't need a horoscope. You don't need something written in the sky. We have the Word of God. And so they had that breastplate. The high priest had the breastplate, the two stones in there. He also had, in verses 14 and following, he has a separate robe. It's a one-piece garment that was underneath all of that. It was typically made out of blue or a purplish. And it was what the priest would wear underneath. It kind of went down to the ground. On the hem of it, there were bells shaped like pomegranates. So whenever the high priest is moving and serving and ministering, everybody outside heard what he was doing. Now, they didn't know all of the details of what he's doing in the holy place, but they could hear the high priest moving around. They knew that he was actively working on their behalf. Verse 15, thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment, the cunning work, and after the work of the ephod shalt thou make it of gold and of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square shall it be doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof, and thou shalt set it in settings of stone, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be of sardis, of topaz, of carbuncle. This shall be the first row, and the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligor, an agate, an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper, and they shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names. Like the engravings of the signet, everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. So on the shoulders, he's got two stones, six names, six names. On the breastplate, he's got 12 stones. Each of those stones has the name of each of the tribes of the children of Israel. So the priest is bearing them on his shoulders, kind of carrying them before the Lord, but also each name was very near to his heart. And so as the high priest would minister, it was not just a job. It was a ministry where he did on behalf of the people of Israel, who oftentimes were sinning, which is what brought about his ministry of helping to atone for the sins of mankind in a temporary way. It couldn't be permanent. Hebrews talks about that all the time. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away our sins. And so we have that confidence that the high priest was merely going to fulfill a need temporarily, and even as a sinful human being. Go down to verse number 22. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate the chains of the ends of the wreath and work of pure gold, and thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate, and thou shalt put the two wreath and chains of gold and the two rings which are the two ends of the breastplate, and the other two ends of the two wreath and chains shalt thou fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. It goes into a lot more detail than we can really fully understand, right? But if you sit down and try to think through that, and those who've worked with material, you try to picture it together, and hopefully that little diagram on your sheet in the bulletin helps you to see kind of what a representation looked like of what that high priest was wearing. But verse 36, go down to verse 36. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of the signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on the blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, or the hat, the turban, so to speak. Upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So the high priest was to wear this turban-like hat, and there was to be a gold engraving on the front of it that said holiness to the Lord. So as you see a high priest, if you were to be able to see him, everything about him, he was decked out in this gorgeous outfit, one that demonstrated that the high priest was bearing the names of the 12 tribes, not only on his heart, but on his shoulders, had a hat that said holiness to the Lord, that the bells around the hem and everything was just meticulously made, because he was going to be a temporary mediator between God and man. You see, man had no way to get to God. As that songwriter put it, how deep the Father's love for us to save a wretch like me. God was willing to do that because he loved us. So now if you would go over to Hebrews chapter 4, we'll try to slow down just a tad, because all that Aaron did, all that Moses set up there in the tabernacle, all that the Hebrews saw and observed with the high priest, all the way up until the time of Christ, in the ornate garments, in the sacrifices, and all the details of that, everything about the high priest was pointing to one day a perfect, permanent high priest would come. And we know that that was Jesus Christ. So Hebrews chapter 4, down in verse number 14, it says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Aaron was a picture, was a type of the Messiah that was to come. Although he couldn't do it perfectly because he was a sinner himself. Every time he had to make a sacrifice, he had to go in himself and make a sacrifice for himself. Every time he had to wash himself and cleanse his hands and his feet because he was a sinner. And yet God, in his love and his grace, he said, you know what, I'm going to allow this for a short time. Now, several thousand years, but for a short time, I'm going to allow mankind to have an opportunity man who is a sinner and God who is holy, who cannot tolerate sin, he said, I'm going to allow it for a short time. I'm going to use the tabernacle. It's a picture of what's already in heaven, of the throne of God and all that's there. I'm going to put a picture of that on the earth. It's temporary. It's not enough. But it's going to have to do until the Messiah comes. Now, when the Messiah come, when Jesus Christ did come, and he presented himself to Israel as the Messiah, Israel said, I don't think that's how we thought our Messiah should come. And they rejected him. And they said, we don't believe you're the Messiah. Because our Messiah would come as a king. And Jesus said, I will. One day I will come back as a king. But before I can reign as a king, I have to save you from your sins. Because if all I did is come and reign as a king, when you die, you will go to hell for all of eternity. So I had to die for your sins first. The blood of bulls and goats could never satisfy my righteous demands. But if there was one who was both man and God blended together, he would be enough. And so the only way that was possible is if there was someone who was fully human and fully God. But anybody that was born of a man and a woman would be tainted by sin. So if he was not tainted by sin, but yet was fully man, he would have to have a virgin birth so that the sin nature wasn't passed down, but he was fully man. So God, through the Holy Spirit, conceived within Mary that child we know now as Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And for 33 years he lived on this earth, and eventually he went to the cross and he willingly laid down his life and he died for my sins and for your sins. God died. We can't comprehend that. But he loved me that much that he was willing to take all of my sins and bear all of our sins on himself, who knew no sin, so that we could be made righteous in Christ. Hebrews 7, did we turn there? Hebrews 7, this is, I think, what was read earlier this morning. Verse number 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he, Christ, ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us. And notice this, this high priest is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for his own, for the people's. For this he did once when he offered himself. And so the reminder that Jesus became our high priest, Jesus was a permanent high priest. He's still our high priest in heaven. He is sinless. He was perfect. And so Jesus didn't have to atone for his sins first because he was God. God in the flesh. The perfect God, man. And so back in Hebrews 4, he tells us that because of that, you and I, in verse number 15, or verse 16, we now can come boldly or confidently under the throne of grace. Just like that high priest could go once a year into the Holy of Holies and meet with God, I now, and every other child of God who's ever been born again and placed their faith in Christ alone, every one of us has the privilege to go into the direct Holy of Holies where God is seated in heaven, any moment, any day. But it is only through the cross. It's only through what Jesus Christ did. And if I have any thought in my mind that I am trusting in what Jesus Christ did and my good works, God says I'm not trusting in him anymore. I'm trying to work my way to heaven, which is the most horrible thing that we could do to Jesus Christ. When he said what I did was enough, and we say to him, I don't think it was. I think I need to do enough good works to merit my way to heaven. Then Jesus says, well, if that's what you think, and you can try that, but it will not work. Because the only way you can be saved is by trusting in Christ alone. We just celebrated, we just celebrated Reformation Day, November 1st, October 31st, when Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses. When Martin Luther, studying the Bible as a monk, he was being taught and he believed that in order to be saved, you had to trust in Jesus Christ and you had to do a lot of good things. And then he started reading his Bible and he said, that's not what the Bible says. And he confronted the church and the church killed him because they didn't want the truth out. Because they wanted religion. You see, God's never been interested in religion. He's always been interested in a personal relationship between a sinner like us and a holy God. And the only way that was possible is if a permanent and a perfect high priest, God himself, would die for our sins. And he did that. And I look back to the time in my life when I realized that I was a sinner. And I invited that Messiah into my life to save me. And I've trusted him alone. And from that moment on, I was saved. And there's testimony of many in this room that can say the same thing. You remember the moment. I wish I could remember the exact date. I don't remember the date. I remember the moment. It was an event. It was a time when I recognized I was a sinner. I was heading toward a Christless hell. But I realized that Jesus paid my way. He was my high priest. And I turned from my sin. I told God I didn't want to be a sinner anymore, and I wanted to invite Christ into my life to save me. Salvation is a point in time event. Can you look back to a time when you realized you were a sinner? You turned from your sin and you placed your faith in Christ alone. Not in the church, not in good works, not anything you could do, but in Christ alone. And if not, I'd implore you, make that day today. That's what this table is all about. It's remembering that day, the day on the cross, and that day when you embrace Christ as your Savior. And if you've never done that, today is the perfect day. God tells us today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for what Jesus Christ did accomplish on the cross to save us. Lord, we know that Satan's great desire is to deceive mankind. He's pernicious. His judgment has already been sealed, and he will spend eternity in the lake of fire. But his task is to take as many people with him as possible. And Lord, we know that that subtle little change from trusting in Christ alone to trusting in Christ and our good works is what will send most people to hell. And I pray, Lord, that that's not just a subtle thought in our minds, but we recognize that it's a huge gulf. And I pray if there's any here today that have never embraced Christ, that they would do that today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, with nobody looking around, if there's any here today that would say, Pastor, I don't know that I've ever done that. I think I've been trusting in myself and Jesus. But today is the day I want to embrace Christ. With nobody looking around, if you say, Pastor, I'd like to talk to you after church, or I'd just like to make sure, just with an uplifted hand, just quickly just catch my eye and say, Pastor, I want to know for sure because I think I've got it a little bit wrong. Anybody here at all that would say, Pastor, I need to talk to somebody today. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you forward, but I'd love to talk to you after the service this morning. Anyone at all? And Father, we trust that each one here does know that they've been born again. And Lord, if not, that they would not have any peace or rest until they've invited Christ to save them from their sins. And so we thank you for that. We ask now for your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. This time I'm going to invite Chris and